This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
What does it take to become your best?
What does it take to overcome struggle?
And how do we conquer self-doubt and fear?
The chase is on for me!
Each week, I'll be sitting down with current and former athletes, as well as other accomplished individuals, to discover their stories and what it took for them to achieve their success.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the David Mead Podcast. Today, I spoke with Elsie Albert. Elsie is a current player with the PNG Orchids. She has also just signed with the St. George Dragons in the NRLW. We speak about some of the challenges women face in sport in Papua New Guinea, and we also speak about some of the proudest moments of her career so far. I hope you enjoy this podcast with Elsie Albert. All right, Elsie, thanks for making the effort to come on the podcast. You know, I appreciate your effort to come from Sunny Coast, which is where you're staying right now. How's your stay in Australia so far?
It's been really good. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be on the podcast. And it's been really good, you know, coming over, finally coming over, and then my stay is accommodating. It's really good.
So everyone in PNG knows you as a rugby league player, a great rugby league player, and we want to get to know you as, you know, the person behind that player. So can you tell us a little bit about where you were born and what that was like?
Yeah, so I'm from the southern islands of Papua New Guinea, and my small district is Pangaea, and it's somewhere in the border of Pangaea and Kagua. So we're said to be from both sides, like we're in the border. But I grew up in Nipa, that's in other part of southern islands, because my dad's a police. We had to move around a lot, so we didn't stay at one place, in one particular place at a time. So
what did a typical day look like in?
So a typical day for me would be like so I wake up in the morning, I do my chores, either washing the dishes or cleaning the house, looking after my younger siblings, because I'm the first of three siblings. I help my mom. So one thing is helping her washing the clothes for my younger siblings, or my dad's clothes, you know, cooking, because coming from PNG, like, they're very strong with culture and stuff. So girls are supposed to, you know, help their parents, help their mothers especially, you know, work in the garden, you know, looking after younger siblings, especially cooking food and then washing the clothes, yeah.
And how old are you then when you start taking these responsibilities up?
I was 8-9 years old. You know, I started doing these chores.
Yeah. Say you wake up in the morning, you're helping with chores and stuff like that. Did you ever have any competitive sports with your siblings or your cousins? Did you ever play sport at that age?
Yeah, we do play sport. But at the time, like, we didn't really, you know rugby league. The main sport that we played during the time was volleyball and basketball. And I was a really good basketball player at the time. So me and my younger brother, we're really competitive.
Did you watch much of that on TV or?
No. No, no, we don't watch it on TV. We just watch other people play. I mean, we watch them play and then, you know, we try to imitate what they do.
Yeah. Rugby league's huge in PNG, right?
Yep.
And I remember watching that sport mainly growing up. Yep. I didn't really watch too much of other sports, you know, like basketball, volleyball or anything like that.
I didn't know what, I didn't know rugby league existed at the time.
Yeah.
At my early age. But then once when I, you know, left there and then came out, when my dad moved again, so we moved to Mandy, that's when I started, you know, watching league and on TV. And then, my favorite team was the Roosters.
Oh, yeah.
Sydney Roosters. And I'm still supporting them as well.
Yeah, there was a lot of Roosters fans in PNG. Yeah. And so in Mandy, how old were you when you moved to Mandy?
12, yeah. 12, 13, somewhere there.
What's the schooling like in Mandy? Is it similar setup to Port Moresby or is it very different?
No, it's a bit different. I didn't go to school when I was in Mandy. So my parents stayed there and then I moved to Pangaea. I went to stay with my grandparents in Pangaea.
How did you handle that move away from your parents to living with your
parents? I mean, for the first time I went, it feels really hard, you know, going away from your parents. Yeah, going away from your parents.
100%.
But then as time went by, you know, I got used to being away from them. And then,
Was there much organized sport at school? Do you remember?
Yes, at the time. The only time when we were able to really compete was in a state of origin. So when that state of origin comes, we split the school in half. So the Blues go on one side, the Maroons go on one side, and we would compete. So not rugby-wise, but we compete with other sports, but we separate ourselves into Blues and Maroons, and then we compete basketball, volleyball, and other games.
So all these other sports take on the state of origin name and you split.
Yes, and then split.
Yeah.
And then, we play each other.
Oh, that's cool. State of origin is huge. Yeah,
it's very huge. Yeah. Very huge.
I saw on Wikipedia that you were a boxer. You trained in boxing growing up. Was that during school?
Yes. That was when I was in high school. I was in Moresby. So from Pangaea, I moved to Moresby to do my grade 11 and 12. So I did grade 11 and 12 in Port Moresby National High. So that's when I took up boxing in grade 11. We had we got a selection, so I was selected to play for the grassroots game in Rabaul. Not in Rabaul, in Kimbe. But I couldn't go because my parents said no, so I didn't go. I did spare. I mean, I did some sparring with some other boxers, but I couldn't go because my parents said no, as well as I didn't have, some fighters under my weight category. Mm-hmm. I think I was 96 at the time.
Yeah.
96 kg. So
were you just dominating everyone in the sparring?
I think so.
That's probably why. They're too scared. So how long did you do that for? Why did you take up boxing?
So I think I just love the physicality of the sport. And that's why I took up boxing.
Yeah. How long did you do that for?
1 year.
Yeah.
1 year. And then, because I couldn't take part in that grassroots game, I gave up boxing.
Yeah.
Yep.
And from boxing, you went straight to rugby league?
Rugby league, yep.
And then you found some passion there?
But from there, I didn't know that there was a women's team. That was in 2013, yeah. I didn't know that there were females playing rugby league at the time. So I was in school and then finished grade 11, 12. And then I was selected to go to University of Natural Resource and Environment in Rabaul. So I went to Rabaul and I did my first year there. And then there was a girls team in the uni. So at first, I didn't want to play. I just went there to support the girls. But then we got there was short of numbers for the girls to play.
Yeah.
So the boys captain, he approached me. His name is Fraser Ninde. So he approached me and asked if I would, you know, want to join the girls to play. And then I rejected the offer the first time he came around. The second time I said no. And then the third time he said, no, we're down, like we have 8 girls and we need one more to make it 9 to play rugby, because in 13s you cannot play with less than 9 players, even though, you know, you're short of players.
Yeah.
You have to have 9 and nine above to play. So if you have less than, you forfeit.
Yeah.
So I wanted to support and I went, but because there was no girls to play, I just put the boots on and ran into the field.
As the ninth player.
Yes, yeah. As the ninth player.
Yeah.
And then yeah, it pretty much turned around for me there from there.
Did you find any challenges or any resistance to you playing rugby league? Did the other girls find any of that?
I think, you know, the first crop of girls that the first ones to play league, they did find resistance. Like, it didn't go along with the culture or our upbringing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people did go against it. But the first crop of ladies that did this, you know, credit to them for, mm-hmm. you know, still wanting to do something that girls that come after them would, you know, be proud of what they're doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they kept on doing it. And now, like, we are coming through. And yeah.
It's kind of like a bit more normal now.
Yeah.
Because they would have copped a lot back in the day, you know.
Yeah.
I used to hear things like, you know, they shouldn't be playing. Yeah, it's not a women's sport.
It's not a women's sport.
And that's a big problem.
Yeah.
I think it was in maybe 2013 or after that, you start hear people talking about, but in the game was growing in Australia, you know, but in PNG, you still had a lot of that noise about women playing rugby league. They don't have a place in league. Like, how do you think the girls overcame that, or how do they handle that? Do you talk to any of the more experienced players from the past?
Yeah, like, you know, the first team that they put together was the Orchids to participate in the World Cup in 2017. And that's the first time the Orchids came into existence.
Yeah.
So talking with other girls, I asked them, like, how it felt for you guys leading up to that, making the team.
Yeah.
And they told me stories like while they were playing, you know, they would throw bottles, empty bottles field. Onto the field, telling them, you know, you're not supposed to play this sport. Just go home. Your job is to have children and, you know,
cook clean.
That's normal, clean, cook and all this stuff. But yeah, they coped a lot, the ladies that went before us. And there's big resistance before, but now I don't see that resistance.
The Orchids probably changed a lot of that perception.
Yeah. I think a lot of it changed when they introduced this Orchids into the rugby league arena for PNG.
Yeah.
And at first as well, like a lot of negativities coming, they like said things, some things that, you know, hurt the girls, but, you know, they continue to, you know, play. And then a big turnaround is when in 2019 when we won against England.
Yeah,
I think that's where, you know, the big, you know, mindset perspective of people changed, especially the men folks.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's great that it's changed because you know, there's a lot of it's a huge rugby league loving country, not just for, you know, men and young boys. It's girls and, you know, women.
Yep.
In the country, they love the sport. Not everyone wants to play it, but huge fans, and they want to obviously play as well. And I think your potential coming over to Australia, was it last year?
Yeah, last year.
Yeah, you know, that's going to give a lot of hope to a lot of young girls coming through as well. So a lot of, you know, there's the women who copped it in the early days, they set a pathway, you know, there's a lot of gratitude towards them.
And it's like, I'm always like grateful for, you know, for them not giving up. Even though, you know, they went through a lot of, you know, shame talk and everything, like the crowd, I mean, the supporters that said to them, but, you know, they continued to persevere and wanted to do something good.
Yeah.
And then they continued, and that's, I mean, it's because of them that we're here now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So that's, it's huge from them,
it's
mate.
Huge, yeah.
For you personally, coming through, have you ever had any struggles, you know, in your teenage years? You know, stuff that you feel comfortable talking about that you went through, that, you know, and how did you overcome them? Let's just say, you know, a lot of teenagers that are copying a lot of negativity or a lot of peer pressure and stuff like that. Did you ever have any of that stuff growing up?
Is it like a bad influence?
Or yeah, like bad influences, how to say no to drugs, alcohol,
so partying. Like, I think for me is, and I was brought up in a Christian home. Much of the things that are done in the house was according to, you know, Christianity and belief that, you know, along the Christianity. So my upbringing was, you know, based on Christianity. So it was really good.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't cope a lot because my parents were really, you know, they were really good examples of, you know, said telling us, you know, you do what you want to do and do what will make you happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were firm believers of letting us children do whatever we want to do. But in saying that, like, they don't allow us to do like...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And things like drugs or alcohol, all these things. So, yeah.
How did you go in school?
Yeah, I was a really good student, an average one as well. So I was the captain in primary school from primary class up to high school. I was also a class captain and up to national high school as well, secondary school. So yeah, I was a sort of, I could say, a leader in the classroom as well as, you know, at home as well too.
Yeah. So it sounds like you took that type of leadership role at a pretty young age and it transferred. What do you think some of the things you did on a consistent basis throughout school as being a leader, you know, so that some other kids can probably do as well? Like for every, say you turn up to school and you just put your head down and, you know, study hard, listen to the teacher, be respectful of others. Was there anything you did in particular?
Those are foundations where my, you know, we were brought up with, you know, respect, keep your head down, humble yourselves, and like all those things are foundations that our parents taught us at a young age. So we had no problem doing those things while growing up. So yeah, it was pretty, I was an easygoing person.
So you think those things, helped you get through high school?
Yep.
So when did you start, and you said you were supporting the Roosters as a kid. Do you remember the first rugby league game you watched on TV?
The first rugby league game I've watched was, the first one was the Sharks grand final. I don't know when they played the grand final. It was when, I think.
2016.
Yeah. That's when Paul Gallen and them.
Yeah. James Maloney, Paul Gallen.
Yeah.
The most recent one.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's the only grand final they won.
I think that's the first game that I watched.
Yeah. When you joined the team as the ninth player, how did you progress from then on? Did you start attending training sessions and stuff?
Yeah. So after, we went in there and then we forfeited because the team that we were supposed to play with didn't come in. So I just joined them, made it nine, went in there and then forfeited. So, and then from then on, I started, you know, going to the training that they had. And then, we trained. And then the next weekend, we went to play. So I played like three games.
Yeah.
And then I was selected to represent East New Britain. So I represented East New Britain. And then I think we played four games.
Yeah.
representing East Britain, and then I was selected again to represent NGI. So I represented NGI, and then we came to Moresby, and then there's like four regional games.
Yeah.
So that's where Moresby South, the Highlands region, the Momase region, and the New Guinea Islands.
Yeah.
So I came New Guinea Islands. I represent the New Guinea Islands, and I came. Yeah, so we played there. I think I played two games into the comp, and David Wesley,
yeah,
he told me that I was in the squad. So in the squad to make the Orchids. That was in 2018, yeah.
Okay.
In 2018.
So it was a pretty fast progression into
So
the national side.
I think it's when I knew that, you know, I saw the pathway that, you know, if I do go this way, I'm going to this, and then I'm going into the Orchids, and then from there I'm looking at NRLW. So I saw the pathway there, so I thought, oh, this is my chance.
Yeah.
So I have to make use of this opportunity. So yeah. Once I made the NGI, I said, this is it for me. So I have to, you know, work hard and, you know, get to where I want to be. So
yeah.
NRLW was the next thing that, you know,
That's what you had your eyes on.
Yeah. So, yeah. We came here 2018. We played the Broncos in Suncorp, and then we got thrashed, I think 47-12. And then I think I was the second one to score the try. My first try there as well.
Yeah, at least you scored a try.
Yeah.
That's all right. It happens to all of us.
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of us anyway. Did you ever do any type of training on your own? So when you found out that was the pathway?
Yes, so
like extra training and stuff.
Yes, so what I do is like every morning I wake up because it's PNG. It's you know, they have fence around, you know, every girl's dormitory.
Yeah.
So we can't go out in the night. So we have a long hole there.
Yeah.
So every morning I wake up around 4 or 5.
Yeah.
I just run around
in the hallway.
Inside the dormitory.
Oh, that's cool. How far was it?
Yeah. So it was I think 40 meters.
Yeah. Yeah, so what type of training were you doing?
So I was I just ran back and forth.
Yeah.
In the long hallway.
Wow, that's cool. That's a cool story. Yeah. And how often were you doing that?
So I did that every morning.
Yeah.
Every morning waking up, I did that. And then every afternoon, I go down to the field where, you know, every sports there.
Yeah.
You know, in the school train. So, yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Every afternoon, I went down in the field.
Yeah. I love that. That's, you know, and that's just zero, you know, excuses.
You don't, we didn't get like the proper programs to train with. And at the time, I was like, it was my first time playing rugby league. So I didn't know what to do as well myself. Yeah. So when I get down there, I just do laps around the field.
Yep.
And nothing else. Just
no program, just
no
run.
Programs, just laps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you know, if you want to battle enough, you try and do something to improve yourself.
Yeah,
yeah. I love that story. That's awesome. Do you remember the phone call or the first time David Wesley came up and told you you'd be playing for the Orchids?
Yeah, so we went, and then I played the first game, the second game, and I didn't play the third game. And I played the third game, and then I think I twisted my ankle, and then I sat out the last game.
Yeah.
So while I was sitting there, the coach, the selector, came over and told me that, you know, you're already selected to represent the Orchids, and then my heart dropped, like it melted there. You know, and yeah, to you know, setting that goal that, you know, I have to, now I'm going into playing for the regional comp.
Yeah.
I have to make the Orchids. That was the next step for me. So when I get that message that, you know, I've made the squad, the Orchids squad, yeah, it was really amazing.
Do you remember how you felt?
Yeah, man, I couldn't look the coach in the eye. I was just like, wide eyes open, and I was looking straight ahead.
That would have been a great moment.
Yeah.
Did you ring your family or did you go see them after?
So actually, I didn't tell my parents that I was playing league, so they didn't know that I was playing.
Oh, they never knew the whole time?
No, the whole time.
Oh, wow. No. Why not?
I think it's because of the our denominations and the regulations and all this. So yeah, I didn't tell them. I didn't tell them that I was playing league because of what they would say.
Yeah.
So I was at school. I got selected. I didn't tell them that I was coming to Moresby to play the trial for the Orchids. I didn't tell them as well. And then I got selected into the Orchids. I didn't tell them that I was in the Orchids too. Yeah, it's really funny. So we flew down here and then we played. And then I said I was the second person to score the try. And that like that was my first try.
Yeah.
So that picture of me scoring the try was on the front page of the newspaper back home. And then my dad saw that newspaper.
No way.
And then it was he called me, but because I was here, the call couldn't come through. Yeah, so I stayed and then we went back and then just got off the airport and then my phone was ringing. So I saw my phone and it was my dad calling. So I didn't answer the call. Like I didn't talk to him for a month.
Really?
Yeah, because I didn't want to tell him that he already saw the picture.
He saw the photo.
I'm pretty sure he saw the newspaper because it was on the front page.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to tell him. So I didn't answer the call, answer his call for a month, and then he messaged me and told me that it's up to you. It's your life. You can do whatever you want. Just pick up the phone and we talk. So I eventually answered the call and then we sorted things out. So
yeah, you're just scared now of how he'd react.
Yeah, how he would react to the
playing.
Yeah,
for the national team.
Yeah,
I think for anyone they'd be pretty happy. I'm sure they're very proud of you. When you played against England in 2019, I think we played straight right after you.
Yep.
That was the first game the Orchids had won.
Yep.
Against the international team.
Yeah.
You were also named for captain.
Yeah.
That same year?
Yep.
That must have been a pretty special moment.
Yeah. Very, very special. I guess it was all leading up to that. We were like improving as a team. So we went, we came to verse the Broncos and then we played, we went for the Pacific Games in Samoa for the Nines. And then I think we came second. We won silver at that Pacific Games. And then we came for the World Cup, Nines in Sydney. And then, it built up from there. And then to finally get the call and, I was in school. So after that Rugby League World Cup, I went to school and I was in school and the coach called me up and said, hey, so we've selected you again to play in the England game in 2019. And we've also appointed you as the captain to captain the side for that game. So yeah, to get the phone call that, they've appointed me as the captain was really amazing.
Yeah.
I know. I just played like 1 year ago and then the next year you get the captaincy. And I think like most of our old players was not there. So they sort of look up to me as an experienced player.
Your leader
at the time.
Coming through.
Yeah.
Surely you must have rang your parents.
Yeah.
This time.
First thing.
How did they react this time?
I rang them up and I told them that, hey, I just got appointed as the captain of the Orchids. And yeah, they were pretty excited.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. When we were playing after you girls, I remember that afternoon, you guys were playing the English side. And then it was like, 5 minutes to go or something like that. We were in the sheds doing our warm up and stuff like that, We knew the score was pretty close and not long left.
I think it was 16 hold.
Yeah. It was a couple of minutes left.
Yeah.
And then like as the minutes went on, we're doing our stretches and stuff. And then you just hear this loud roar from the crowd, and you're in the dressing sheds and you can just hear stomping on top of the stadium. Yeah. And it was just a huge roar. And we realized the game must have finished and you girls must have won. So we were pretty excited doing our warm-up and stuff like that, And how did that feel for you?
I think that's the proudest moment of my life. And the first reason being that was the first ever test match that PNG Orchids has ever won, coming into existence as a team. And the second one is obviously me being the captain of the team, and then we won the game. And the third one is it's because of that win that, you know, that win like is a throw at the face of, you know, people who, you know, say negativity towards, you know, girls playing rugby league, like it's not a girl sport, you're not gonna do it, you're not gonna win any games, you're just wasting your times. And yeah, so for us to get that win, like it's kind of like showing them that we can do it as a female in PNG, we can also do, you know, great things as well.
Yeah. And leading up to those games, when people are saying this type of stuff to you, how do you and the girls handle it? Do you talk about it or do you laugh about it?
Yeah, we did. And some of the girls did, you know, they went on social media and saw the comments, and then, you know, they brought it up. But, you know, I told them that we should just shut it out. Just don't go on social media, because the more you go on social media, you see those type of comments, and then it lowers your self-esteem.
Yep.
So just don't go on social media. So we turned everything off, and then we focused on our training and, you know, what to do to get ourselves prepared for the game.
Yeah.
So the focus was on preparing ourselves. So,
So you just focus on what you can control, preparing yourself.
Yep.
Yeah, because even me, I'll read some negative stuff, I get affected. And then when I go to training, focus on my processes, that stuff goes out the window. But it still does affect you. You know, I've been playing for 13 years now, and reading that stuff sometimes still affects me. I can deal with it a lot better now. But I've seen, you know, in camp, especially in Kumul, some of the boys get annoyed and irritated. Yeah. They talk about it, but then we, you know, we have a laugh about it and deal with it and move on that way. So that's one way we deal with it.
Yeah, I think the girls also, you know, do that as well. Like some of the comments that they read, like they sit in small groups and then discuss, and then sometimes they laugh, but sometimes like some of the comments is really harsh. You cannot laugh over those kind of comments. So that's when we like get together and then discuss and then say, you know, the more we spend time on social media, you know, the more it's going to put us down.
Yeah.
So the better way is just to turn the social media off. We concentrate on our game and what we could control. And then after the games, we could go and, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a strange world, that social media world.
Yeah.
It is such a shame though, but, you know, that's a whole other topic, that one.
Yeah.
So just for some rapid fire questions, just some fun ones before we wrap up the episode. What type of music do you like to listen to?
Hip hop and instrumental.
How much can you bench press and squat?
Squat at
140. 140. Oh, squat more than me.
just once, not like three times, just once and then up.
Yeah. Man, I can't even do 120 kilos. What's your favorite meal?
My favorite meal, sweet potato from the ashes.
Yeah? Oh, that's Justin's favorite meal too.
Yeah.
He told a story about his mom cooking that on the fire. Must be pretty good.
Most of the times when I'm with my grandparents, they do that for me before I go to school. They put the sweet potato in the ashes, and then I always
help
get that and go to school.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I remember my grandparents doing that at the garden too, actually. Do you have a specific pregame meal? Do you stick to one thing or do you change it up?
No, for me, I don't really have a specific food, but I like eating fruits before game.
Fruits, okay. Do you have any pregame rituals?
I like listening to music and, just listen to music and get carried away.
Yeah. Do you have a spirit animal?
I think mine would be a flying fox.
A flying fox.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's from my a clan, like a small clan back in the village. So it's come from that.
It represents a clan.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, nice.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite quote?
My favorite quote is, it's from the Bible. Like I have that on my cup of water and everything. It's Philippians 4:13.
Okay, so what was that?
Philippians 4:13 from the Bible.
Okay.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Ah, okay, nice. Yeah, I see a lot of the boys who write that on their wrist before a game too. What are your goals or visions for the next couple of years playing in the NRL Women's Comp?
My goal is to establish myself as a mainstay in the NRLW moving forward.
And establish yourself in the Women's Comp?
In the Women's Comp, yeah.
Yep. I look forward to you representing the NRL Women's Comp next couple of years. I think it's very exciting, not just for me, but a lot of your family and a lot of Papua New Guineans as well. What would you say to a 13-year-old you? Knowing what you know now, what would you say to a 13-year-old you?
You know, I would have worked harder, you know, especially study-wise. Just be myself.
Yeah.
Just be yourself.
Be yourself. Yeah. I think that's good advice. Do you have any final thoughts or messages for anyone out there?
Yep. So my words would be, you know, for, you know, people who, especially girls who, you know, wanted to follow my footsteps or wanted to play rugby league, and, you know, you get all these negativities that, you know, people are saying, like, I would tell them that you know, keep your head's eye and work hard, persevere, and just follow your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elsie, it's been great having you on the podcast. I appreciate you taking the time to join me. I'm sure, you know, the insights, stories that you've shared is going to be of great benefit to a lot of Papua New Guineans out there, a lot of young girls coming through sport as well, especially. So thank you so much. I appreciate you doing this.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me.
If you've enjoyed this episode, then I'd love if you would hit that subscribe button, leave a comment or a review, and share it with anyone you think might enjoy it as well. For more behind-the-scenes content, head to my Instagram at davidmead411 and feel free to slide into my DMs if there's anyone you would love to hear from. I can't wait to bring you another episode next week, and thanks for listening to the David Mead Podcast.